At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi, Stacey Cole, and Todd Michaels.
Let's watch more of Jeff.
Did you ever see him? Was he perspiring more than a normal person would during dinner?
This is 5 years ago. I don't remember. We were outside and it was, you know, not cool at that time of year, but yeah.
Okay, so you're outside in like an open area restaurant?
Yeah, we were at the Yardbird on the patio.
Okay, the Yardbird in South Beach?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's a nice place.
Did you witness Charlie Adelson doing cocaine that night?
I did not.
So this is a guy who was in South Beach, right? Drives a Ferrari, right?
Yes.
What, had Wendy previously described him as having a lot of girlfriends?
Sure.
Handsome, I probably could get attention of women.
I would presume so.
They do a lot of coke.
But your only face-to-face meeting was at dinner, correct?
Well, that dinner, and then we went back to his house and hung out in his hot tub for a little while. But that was it.
Oh, and during that time that you went to his hot, to his house to hang up in the hot tub, did you see him ever go to the bathroom? Or was he ever outside of your personal space?
Yeah, I think all of us were in and out of that hot tub at various points because we were sitting there a little while.
He peed in the hot tub.
At any point did Charlie Adelson... Now, look, you're a law professor, correct?
Exactly, professor of social work, actually.
Correct.
Oh, what did you think of his package?
Yes, that's what
you're
I was thinking.
At university, correct. I apologize, not law professor.
Yeah. You're an educated person, correct?
Sure.
You'll agree with me that a layperson wouldn't solicit you to commit a murder, correct?
Objection.
How we ask this? Did Charlie Adelson ask you to kill Dan Markell?
Did Charlie ask me?
Did he ask you?
No,
of course not.
And
look at the look on his face.
I apologize. I will try the of course not. And you'll agree with me that at no point did you give him any reason to believe that you would be someone that would do such a nefarious act, correct?
No.
Okay. When the prosecutor asked you about June 4th of 2014. You recall that?
Yes, sir.
And you said that you guys were at the Red Eye Coffee Shop, right?
That's correct.
And around what time was that?
I had a hair appointment at 2 or 3, so it was at 1 or 2.
And so in the early afternoon...
Could have been as early as 12:30, sir.
I mean, 12:30.
Yeah.
Okay. So around 12:30 on June 4th, 2014, correct?
That's correct.
You indicated that she was acting, and by she, I mean Wendy Adelson, that she was acting unusual.
That's correct.
Would that be a fair assessment?
Yes.
Did you ask her what was wrong?
I did ask her what was wrong. It was very nonspecific. That happened with Wendy quite a bit, where she was upset and it was not an exact name put to why.
Was she upset often?
Yes.
Would she get these kind of physical reactions often, that her stomach would hurt or that she would ask you to get her medicine?
I got to know her better in the spring, so I saw more of it than I would have in the fall. That was the only time I can recall that. That was not an average thing. I think that's why I remember it, because it was unusual.
And you said that you drove about 35 minutes to get her medicine?
Yeah, it could have been 25, 35 minutes, but it's where she lived was not convenient to run to the store. So it was a discussion like, do we want to do that? And it's all the way down there. And she was so nervous. I thought, no, I'm going. So
did she go with you?
No, she did not. She had the kids that night. So she stayed with the children.
Did she make any kind of doctor's appointments shortly thereafter? To your knowledge?
Not to my knowledge.
Now, you indicated that you guys became boyfriend and girlfriend at the beginning portion of 2014. Is that a correct statement, sir?
Yes, sir.
And When would you tell the members of this jury that your relationship with her ended?
Well, that's a little complicated. July 14th, we went on a date. And when I got home, she had sent me an email saying, I need a week to think. Please don't contact me for the next week. So that was the Monday before Professor Markell was killed. And then we didn't talk for maybe 10 or 12 days after the murder. So I assumed it was internally, I assumed it was over, you know, that night when you get an email like that, you're probably figuring it's over. But in subsequent phone calls, she acted as if it was still a slightly open issue. And we closed that down by phone calls that, yeah, obviously we're going to move on here.
Did you ever question her loyalty to you in your relationship with her?
With regularity, yes.
And when you say with regularity, when did you first become suspicious? Now, let me ask this question first. You were concerned that she was seeing other men, right?
I was.
Okay. And when did you first start getting this concern?
Probably a March, April timeframe, I started to wonder. So not too long after we became a couple, I guess what I was wondering is, have we really become a couple, or is she still doing what she was doing before?
Did you find like text messages or direct messages on social media that made you kind of go, what's going on here?
No, I didn't see any text messages or anything on social media. Her behavior was just erratic. She would disappear. She would come very late at night. So there were signs like that.
Would you talk to her about it?
I tried to.
Okay. So let me ask it this way. Did she understand that you were concerned about her being loyal to her, or you, her, your relationship being a monogamous one?
To be completely honest, I think we kind of pussyfooted around that until we had that big fight at the end of June. That's what that argument was about.
Let's talk about that big fight.
Sure.
Why don't you walk the members of the jury through what happened?
Yeah, I had taken Wendy to Gainesville with me. I was teaching in the off-campus program at UF for the weekend, so I took her with me.
I'm sorry, was it just you and her, and she bring the kids?
No, it's just me and her.
So like a romantic getaway to Gainesville?
Well, work/pleasure. I teach during the day. She works in a coffee shop. We have dinner with friends at night, that kind of stuff. You know, okay. It's a nice area down
Sounds
there.
Nice.
Yeah, it was nice. Weekend started off fine. The Saturday night, we sort of got into it over this stuff. I confronted her about the fact that I suspected that she had been seeing other men.
Okay, so let's talk about it. So you're at dinner?
We were actually up in the hotel room. The night was basically over. It was pretty late. It was 9 or 10 o'clock at night when this discussion happened.
Okay. And had she had any alcoholic beverages at that point?
We both had, but I think just one or two glasses of wine a couple hours earlier.
Just socially with dinner, maybe?
Yeah, that was okay. There's no more drinking than that.
And was there, did you say, listen, I think this, that, or the other, did you have any specifics, or were you just giving a vague, I'm concerned about where this relationship is?
The latter. I was pretty specific. I told her I was very concerned. I was particularly concerned because the way she had framed our relationship was, you're not just becoming my boyfriend. I have children. I'm a mother. It's like I was auditioning for the job of husband and father is actually sort of how it felt in retrospect. So I bonded with the kids pretty tightly. And as you can imagine, in a relationship, that kind of discussion gets more complicated when you're serious and there's kids. And she had been talking about me moving in. She had told me not to buy a house. She had told me not to buy a Jeep, that I needed to buy a vehicle that two car seats could fit in. So
it sounds like you guys were heading down that path.
Yeah, hence why I raised the issue, because I had some intuitions. Everything wasn't quite right. Her behavior had been a little erratic, and I was worried about moving in and ending up in a really bad situation.
So would it be fair to say that she was saying the wrong things, but her actions were speaking louder than words?
That's not a bad summary. I was getting two very different messages based on behavior or what she was speaking to me, what she was saying.
Did that argument or that discussion, did you feel it the next morning?
What do you mean by feel it, sir?
Was she acting any different the following morning?
Oh, the next day was probably the most awkward car ride I've ever had in my life. We rode from Gainesville up to Tallahassee. She was crying. I was very upset. It was a very awkward three-hour drive.
It's a three-hour drive?
Three or four, however long it is.
Okay, from Gainesville to Tallahassee, yeah. However long that was.
Exactly.
And this was in June. You said June 20.
That would have been June 29th. That's the Sunday, the last Sunday. Yeah.
2 weeks later, on July 13th, Wendy tells you, or Wendy has this discussion with you that the prosecutor omitted, right?
Yes.
From June 29th to July 13th, would you say your relationship with Wendy after that awkward, that long 2 or 3 hour, 4 hour, however long it is from Gainesville to Tallahassee, emotional car ride, right?
Yes.
She's crying, upset. And I would assume, well, let me strike this. Did you believe that she was upset? Because like I said, she was saying all the right things, but she wasn't acting like she was talking.
It's very complicated. And she was all over the place, to be frank, in that at one point she was confessing. At one point she was saying, I never did that. She was saying she couldn't remember some things I wanted to talk about, which was frustrating. So go ahead. I'm sorry.
No worries. You said she was confessing. Was she admitting to potential talking to other men?
More than talking the night before when we were having the argument, but it was...
What was she saying?
It was a heated discussion, so I don't remember every word of it. But at points, she kind of let it slip out that my concerns were well-founded.
Okay.
And then 5 minutes later, she would say the opposite. And when I've had to explain this story in the past, I've had to say it. It doesn't sound like it makes sense because she was just all over the place. She was hysterical, really.
Okay. So would it be fair to say at some point she admits to talking to other dudes, apologizes to talking to other men, and then shortly thereafter denies what she just confessed to?
Well, then that repeat as needed on the car ride back, she was like, I never did any of that stuff. I don't know what you're talking about. Which was kind of crazy making for me because she confessed to some of it the night before.
Okay.
Let's pause.
So from June 29th till July 13th.
Wow.
This is a guy that has a psychology degree and he's confused as shit. That's how, confusing these people can be. And he used the term crazy making, which is pretty common in that arena, because it is. It's utterly insane. I mean, she confesses to as the prosecutor, or the, I think it was the prosecutor, the, I don't know what one, whoever was questioning there, might have them into the defense of Garcia, sleeping with other, being with other dudes or in whatever, something like that. So she admits to it and then walks it back because she realizes, oh, that might be a little damaging to me. That didn't quite get the reaction I wanted. So that's all a lie. It's all fake. It's just, if I say it enough, if I keep, this is how they operate. If I keep saying this enough, if I keep trying to convince it enough, I'll convince myself, but I'll convince you too. And then you won't question it. I mean, it is, it's crazy making. It's insane.
It's amazing with his degree that he didn't go running from this relationship.
Right? Exactly. I was thinking the same thing.
But I do find, and I'm throwing a blanket statement out here, and if I'm offending somebody, I apologize in advance. But a lot of people that I know that are in the field of psychology go there to figure themselves out because they've dealt with some trauma. And I know of at least 4 people in my life who are psychologists who have had horrific trauma. So I'm getting that from. I feel like maybe they're used to some trauma. They're used to it. Maybe it's harder for them to see it. I mean, they see it, but harder for them to remove themselves from it, if that makes sense.
It's the frog in the boiling water.
There it is.
Stop
again,
that.
Todd.
Stop that.
There it is.
There it is, Todd.
Or a lobster in the... I mean, even if you do know what to look out for, it still can sneak up on you pretty easily. I mean, it really... And you don't see it until you're out of it half the time. After you've been boiled a few times, you start to go, you know what? I'd like to keep the few layers of skin I still have left. And I'm going to be a little more vigilant on this. And I think some of the, maybe the younger impulse, the impulse control that one may have at a younger age, like Jeff here, in his, 30s at the time, when I'm assuming, when a lot of this stuff is going down. You have less, you're basing your priorities in the wrong areas, I guess I would say. And if he doesn't have any kids, he has less areas to which he has to be concerned, in terms of what he's walking himself into, if it's just him. So again, in his own words, the way he kind of put it, or not in his own words, but paraphrasing what he says, it was the boobs.
It's always the boobs.
Or whatever it was. Whatever it was that was, and I'm being sillily crass. I don't know if sillily is a word. But whatever it is, it was his attraction to her. It was physically her that was overriding all of the sensibility here. Of obviously he saw the red flags and he was calling them out, and he was, you know, but he was sticking around. There was a lot of things where he should have said, but again, shoulda, coulda, woulda, I'm out at earlier points. But again, you don't know the depth as to where this is going.
Yeah.
There's plenty of crazy people out there. There's plenty of dysfunctional people out there in relationships that are very emotional, that have a crazy family that they deal with, that are enmeshed to them, that are this or that. And the more you live, the more you're like, I don't really want to be a part of a world like that. Once you've seen it a few times. But if you've never experienced it and you don't know any better, you just think, well, you know, we have this amazing ability to look for the best in people, which is a good thing sometimes. But sometimes we also don't have the ability to call a spade when it is, and to say, this person is too broken for me. And until they get their shit together and they are able to heal themselves, they're not going to be good for anybody else.
Correct.
And that can be looked at in any relationship, whether somebody's murdered or not. But that's where we have to have the confidence in our own selves and say, okay, I'd love to be in a relationship with this person. This person does offer a lot of good things and has a lot of great qualities, but they are so broken, and it may not be from any fault of their own, but they haven't healed. They haven't dealt with their shit that they've been damaged by. And until they do that, they're not going to be good for anybody else. And I think he was starting to realize that about Wendy in this relationship, and clearly was kind of on this path of, well, she's really hot though, but she has all these things. And I think he's realizing it, but maybe should have pulled the trigger a little bit sooner to get out of it. I'm going to assume maybe he does that a little bit faster now that he's had a few reps in this.
We actually had a great comment. Maybe he was intrigued by her psychological problems too.
Could be too. Could be a fixer.
Don't be a fixer. Do not fix things.
No, you can't.
You can't.
You can't.
Don't do that.
Yeah, that's lesson number one. But again, younger, less reps, less experience in life, you may think you can. You may have even had some light success over here in life, and you think, oh, I'm great at this. I can really. People need to be able to fix themselves, and they have to do that.
It's okay to walk beside somebody as they do it.
Yes.
But they need to be doing it themselves.
They have to do the work. You're not going to do it for them. You're not going to fill in the blanks and Mad Lib it and fix it for them. And clearly, if they do, if the damaged person just keeps going back to the abuser, in this case, it would be the Adelson family and Wendy continually going back to these people that are controlling her and basically doing whatever the hell they want, and she's at the whim of them. That's, I mean, who knows what she knew or did not know, but let's just assume we don't know what she knew. She made the choice. It's all about choices. And She made her choice.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.